is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So out of the way.
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crock Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Hello and a pleasant good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. It is Tuesday, June 25th. It's so strange to hear my voice back to back. June 25th, it is a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day. Today is Tuesday. That means we are continuing our series. We continue our series with critical theologians, Doctor, who has a PhD. Reverend Cleveland Aeneas III, who is also known as Cahoon of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, Unku Sara. We continue in our series of interrogating the Bible, Christianity, or as he calls it, Christianity. How's my pronunciation there?
It's getting better.
It's getting better. Yeah. Christianity. Yeah. And also the various apocrypha and additional scrolls of the Bibles and critiquing various religions in general that was in his major. Welcome again, Unku Sara.
Hey, man. It's great to be here. Of course, we always say namastu, which means I bow to the divinity within you. And I'm excited for today's show.
Yeah, man. Today's show is peculiar. Because it's based on a theory, a concept I have, right? It's based on a concern, a fear, a acknowledgement of additional people on this earth. Now, I know but humans. I am one of the humans. I'm one of the human stem. God created man and female, and we descend from the human stem. But I was going through the Bible, and a number of scriptures reference like principle, a type of consciousness under the sea. And I said, can't be conscious being. There's only fish there. There's fish in the waters and not anything that has a sentient, that's what they call it, sentient beings under the sea. But I come across scriptures which suggest that either there were sentient beings on earth before man or there are sentient beings on earth now with man. There's a theory, you know, there was those theorists who believe this Admiral Byrd gentleman going to the South Pole, and find a big hole, you know, with all kind of trees, because you know it's frozen. Antarctica was supposed to be frozen, but he found a greenery type area, right? And that there was a hole there where you can, according to the theorists, drive down, fly down, and get to the center of the earth, and there are people, beings, light, animals, living in the middle of the earth. Right? And I want to know, in your studies as a pastor, in your study as a critical theologist, does the Bible mention any other sentient? When I say sentient, I mean we're able to think like me, not act out of reaction, you know, instincts. I mean them thinkers, those people who could acknowledge there is a creator, worship that creator, that those things that know right from wrong, thinking existing animal, right? Does the Bible mention that any of that those people exist?
So just to make sure we clear with regard to the question, and you're asking, are there beings that are not necessarily considered human, but may have similar thought processes, or they may actually resemble humans, or that's the kind of question. I'm just making sure the question is clear.
I'm going towards that.
Let's Okay.
So I'm going to read this one. This is Revelations 20:3,
mm-hmm.
right? And it goes this, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him and set a seal upon him and should be deceived, and he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should he be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little for a little season, some sort of that effect, right? Does that mean someone's in the middle of the earth? I mean, even if it's Sheen, if it's Lucifer or whoever it is, are there beings in this earth?
Yeah, so this conversation is always a conversation that people would categorize as, you know, conspiracy theorists, or it is not a conversation that is in the mainstream of academia, or even in the mainstream of what we refer to as just news. However, there are accounts, biblically and otherwise, of, for example, caves, right? They talk about caves that do have life forms that we are not familiar with, based on the fact that in those environments, the sentient beings would not necessarily function the same way that we do, because they don't have as much sun, or they may not have the same type of environment. I'll start the conversation this way, all right? We, within the Holy Coptic Church, recognize that there are many different types of beings, not just in the earth, but actually on the earth, right? There are scientists that are finding skeletons of what, you remember the movie Coneheads?
Yes, I see Coneheads.
So it's a group of beings called Teros. These Teros, and another group called Dunakil. The Dunakil, who have a cranial structure that is much different from what human beings have, but these skulls are being found. What makes us unaware, unassuming of the various types of beings on this planet, believe it or not, is sports, right? Because you have giants in the earth, but if you have a league that accommodates these giants called the NBA, then when you see a person that is, you know, 6'7" or 7 foot, you know, or taller, you don't call them a giant. You try to figure out if they play basketball or if they play volleyball, or identify their height based on an industry that has been put in place. I could go the other way with it. You have what people in fairy tales would refer to as gnomes, or not necessarily midgets, but these little people, right? But when you look in the horse race industry, right, you have these jockeys who have to be a certain size in order to not, you know, add too much weight to the horse. So these jockeys, in times before you had horse racing, they may have considered these types of people gnomes, or had other names for them, right, outside of the word midget or little person, right? And I don't want to offend anybody. I know some of these terms, they say, are offensive to certain people, so I want to be clear. I'm not trying to offend anybody. All right. You have another group referred to as the Deros, right? In the Hindu religion, they have a god called Ganesha, or Ganesh, which is a obese, elephant-headed god that is related to this Dero. All right. those genes are a part of people who are on the planet today. But again, if you saw someone that it was really obese, in many instances, they begin to try to figure out, are you a lineman in American football? Are you a sumo wrestler, right? There are people who have what they refer to as diseases, but technically, if their genealogy is tapped into, they're realizing that it's not so much of a disease, but more of a species. There's a disease that they call hirtutism. Hirtutism is an overgrowth of hair. Like people have hair even on their tongue, right? They have it all over their bodies. But there's a group that they say in these caves called Duwanis, right? These Duwanis are very intelligent. They quote Shakespeare. They learn about what we as humans learn about. But they are not interested in interacting with us because they see us as very violent and very disrespectful to the planet, right? There has been research of, or they have found what are called centaurs. Centaurs are half horse, half man. They found thousands of these skeletons near, in and around Greece, right? Because they call Greece a place with many caves, right? And we can go on and on, right? So it's not just in the earth, but there are things actually walking on the surface of the planet. And it's easier for them to walk on the surface of the planet now because people now are changing their physical structure in such a way where we're tattooing our faces and our arms, and we're changing the way we would normally look. And these beings who have that look naturally are able to walk amongst us. And if you saw one of them, you would just say, oh, that's a person with a lot of tattoos, or that's a person who is just, you know, expressing themselves in their way, right? And so scripturally, there are verses you read about this bottomless pit. They would use the word bottomless to mean unmeasured, not that it's a bottomless pit, but an actual cavern that hasn't been measured, right? That's how you know someone like me or you would have been writing that, because if they say, well, Nuri, how deep the pit is? It's bottomless. Mm-hmm. I ain't going on there to measure it. You understand what I'm saying? But they talk about, even in the book of Genesis, they talk about, or Exodus rather, having no God or no image in the heavens, on the earth, or in the waters under the earth.
Yes, right. I see that. Even in Revelations, it said that, and no man in heaven, nor in earth,
right,
neither under the earth. Like, mm-hmm. What man could be under the earth?
Right.
And I said, no man who under the sea would be able to open this book.
Right.
And I'm trying to say, who are they talking about?
So the Bible is making or accounting for beings under the earth or under the seas, right? And making a distinction between under the seas and under the earth.
Yeah, because they made a distinction that there's a man in the heaven.
Right.
I mean, no man could be in heaven. Mm-hmm. But I cool.
Right.
Because I understand heaven. There's a man on earth. Mm-hmm. So I assume that's us.
Right.
But then they start talking about under the earth.
Right.
Then in the sea.
Right.
And I said, these seem to be different type of beings. Mm-hmm. That exists, mm-hmm. right? And they're talking about the book of judgment or the seals, and none of them can open up the seal.
Right.
So I'm asking basically, is there an existence other set of people?
Yeah.
Who this Bible is talking about?
So when you go into the actual to the ancient records, they talk about these. They talk about 8 subterranean caverns, all right, on Tar Earth, and they talk about an inner world called Agrata. Which they say is in the center of the earth, right? It talks about another place called Shambhala. Shambhala would mean the scent of Allah, or scent of the highest. It has a very sweet, or it is a scent similar to, you know, it's filled with incense, right? It has a very nice scent. And so these records have been, or these places have been mentioned within various records, but what has happened in our society today is that we have been controlled by way of a dominant culture or a dominant society that only allows a certain amount of information to be endorsed. Because we're in the information age now. You can actually go and you can find things. But will it be endorsed by the dominant culture? Will it be endorsed by academia? Will it be endorsed by even the church? Who will endorse these things? If we as a people are serious about gaining this, the power that we seek, our Basesh, Haruhotep Tar, the Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma, he says the power that we're seeking in many instances is knowledge. Knowledge is power. However, we have to be responsible with regard to how we actually attain this knowledge and how we cross-reference the knowledge. Not everything that pops up on the screen is necessarily true or within the proper context, which is why the conversation is so important. So when you do research on an ocean underneath the ocean, right? You can do research on it. You talk about there's fresh water 400 miles into the earth. And they talk about how they say the rock is sponge-like and a huge amount of fresh water in these rocks, right? And then when you juxtapose that to new information, new seismic information that has been revealed, whereby they now have the technology to, because at one point they were just saying that the earth is not hollow and that it is actually more dense in the earth than on the earth, right? But now they're saying that the earth seems to have a heart. They use the word heart. They say the earth has a type of heart, and they say this heart has chambers, and they're using the data from a new type of seismology, which is basically sending a what's the word I want? You're sending a beam of vibration into the earth and then recording how it vibrates, and almost like an X-ray. Let me even use that word, mm-hmm. right? Into the earth, and based on the readings of how that ray bounces around in the earth, it is allowing them to see that the earth is not the dense core that they once thought it was, right? And so ultimately, this should make people not want to just get a shovel and start digging to find out if these caverns are real or go and look in the caves and see how far you could go. That's not the point of this conversation. The point of this conversation, ultimately, for me, is to make people want to know more than they already know, right? The point of this conversation is for us to be able to look at the Bible again from a different perspective, knowing that in this Bible, they're mentioning these things. They're mentioning, for example, we talked about last week in Genesis 1:21, it mentions the great whales. But when you look up the Benin, which are dragons, which are gargoyles, right? And when you look up these gargoyles, you see that it's not something that necessarily we see walking about every day. However, if you go to the countries, many countries in Europe, on their churches, they have these reptiles on the statues of them on their churches. You understand? The actual architecture of the buildings, even of some of the, like, for example, the Anglican and churches, maybe some of the Catholic too, but there's a Gothic architecture to some of these buildings, right? That speaks to, again, what these verses are talking about and who is actually telling this story. Why am I saying that? In Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God couldn't have been talking then. Somebody was watching God create the heaven and the earth, if we're going to take it that way. So if there was no land and God was, they said the earth was void and without form, where the person who was watching this, they had to be in the water recording this. Mm-hmm. You understand? So then if we look at it from that perspective, I appreciate why the Holy Coptic Church is saying there has to be an African perspective or a perspective of the people who was actually hovering above the waters. Because one narrative is someone in the water watching someone else hover above the water. There's another narrative then of those who were hovering above the water. You understand? Called, they say, the Spirit of God moved above the surface of the deep. So there are many different beings on this planet. And the reason why we are not aware of it is because the mainstream media, mainstream academia endorsing the reality of these things in order to keep control of a mentality, to keep control of a narrative whereby we are just constantly looking for a deity that is further than the furthest star that we are referencing as God, that knows what we're doing at every point. And if we don't obey this God, we're going to eventually go to this hell that ultimately keeps people in fear of actually having these types of discussions.
In the Dark Ages, they had a number of creatures. Mm-hmm. If you look at the old maps, they have mermaids. Mm-hmm. If you look at the narrative in the 14th, 12th century, you hear about these werewolves. You hear about vampires, right? I am uneasy with the topic altogether because I can see there being some kind of succubus sucking the soul out of you, right? I can see there being some kind of monster werewolf creature. And then when the scripture says, what was in the beginning shall be at the end, right? And I said, don't tell me the werewolf's coming back. Does the Holy Coptic Church entertain the possibility of werewolves, vampires, goblins, and such, in short, demon-type creatures existing?
We do, but not from that perspective. I mean, when you talk about a werewolf, you're talking about...
You don't believe in witches?
We do. But again, the fairy tales, remember we talked about magic and we talked about the fact that you have those who use sleight of hand and then you have those who use actual science. If we look at it from the perspective of science versus a fairy tale, it becomes real because a werewolf, let's talk about a person who has an appetite for blood, right? They're not running around actually sucking your neck, right? And their steak very... not even medium rare, but almost rare. You have people who eat raw flesh, right? You have people who have a thirst for human blood, right? But they don't have to run around and suck your neck. They can actually go and find blood in other ways, right? You have people with hair all over their bodies. You're not calling them a werewolf. And in many instances, they can shave the hair. But it doesn't mean that because in the werewolf movies, they talk about the werewolf coming out when the moon is full, right? So ask anybody, and maybe someone could call in, from the police force or who works in accident and emergency, if there's any change in their workload during a full moon, right? Because when the moon is at its fullest, you have a pull on the waters of the earth. Well, the brain also sits in water in the head. So it's also a pull on the waters of the body as well, which is why women's menstrual cycle seem to tie in with some phase of the moon. There's this pulling of the water. Those people whose, when their waters are pulled, who act outside of normal human behavior, we refer to them as lunatics. These lunatics, or people who are affected by the moon in that way, would be the werewolf story, would be the person whose whole demeanor changes when the moon is full, right? The idea of mermaids, right? Again, sports has done a great job of making them hide in plain sight, but you have people who spend inordinate amounts of time in the pool or in the ocean. You call them Olympic swimmers. You call them what's the sport now that we seem to be doing well at?
Water polo?
Water polo. You have these different sports where people are always around water. And so a person who's spending an inordinate amount of time in water, you don't see them as having that same type of gene or that gene being in them. You just see them as someone who, okay, you're doing well at that sport. But let's go even further, though, right? If we look at the evolutionary process of what we're calling human beings, it's very easy to see that these things are not far-fetched if you look at how a human being is ultimately formed. We start out as what looks like a tadpole, right? This tadpole that ultimately becomes a frog, ideally, is what the sperm looks like, right? That sperm then hits an egg. So we all come out of an egg, very similar to a reptile, right? If you look at the trimesters with regard to gestation, the first trimester, we look like a reptile. We look like a type of reptile. And then we eventually begin to look like a gray, all right? They call them grays or the Roumardians, which are these little space people that they appear to be gray, and they have three fingers, right? And their eyes are different from ours, and they have no ears, right? And what our great elders say to us is, this is not how they look. This is actually their spacesuit. This is actually how they're able to function in this environment here on Earth, right? But we have a relation to them because if you look at the actual trimesters as the baby is going through the three trimesters, we look like a gray. We look like the actual alien that we're talking about.
Can this be Darwin's?
Well, Darwin,
he believed he came from some kind of tadpole. But what you're describing now is a natural phenomenon.
Right.
But the same cycle.
So Darwin was tapping into that reality, but then Darwin and many of the anthropologists of that era were very racist, right? And so they were trying to find a way to justify their racism by making indigenous people, especially African people, closer to apes and themselves closer to what they referred to as humans. But there is science-based discussions out there that will say to us that there is a relationship between what you call a human being and the reptile and the gray, all right, that they refer to as this alien. If you just look and see what is taking place inside the womb, this water space, whereby we're utilizing things in the womb that we don't use outside of the womb, like our tonsils, which can be gills inside of the womb. You see, they say, well, the tonsils don't really have no real use for them. You could take them out, but that's not true. There's work with the pineal gland, but that's a whole nother show. So
we have some callers who want to engage you. Let's go to the callers now, because it sounds like you believe in aliens, and it sounds like the Cooper Church might believe that there's extra people in this space who came down this on this earth. But I can go there,
right?
Because I want you to put on a racket,
yeah,
right? But go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Morning again, Steve. Good morning, brother Uncle.
Good morning, my brother.
Yeah, everything all right, Uncle?
Yep, how you doing?
All right, man. I can't complain, man. I know you've been dealing with CA, but that them questions, he'd be kicking up out of nowhere, and he sounds like he's serious with them, too. Yeah. Brother Uncle, before I put my point down, when you were talking about lunatics, right?
Mm-hmm.
You sure lunatics don't want, you sure that wasn't, had something to do with women? Because, you know, something like the 28-day cycle, you know, with the moon, right? And, you know, one of the first things, people ask women and even ask some men when they have an attitude, is your beard on it?
Yeah, yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying to you.
Right. But it's not only women. That's what I'm saying.
And you?
I say, but it's not only women.
Yeah. I mean, I just was trying to say
if there
might be some reference to that because, you know, how people say that's an attitude time for them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because as they're losing the blood, they're losing nutrients and they get irritable. So
yes, I understand. I mean, I just was trying to say,
but I agree.
I'm not arguing if this.
No, I with you.
The process, But earlier you mentioned Admiral Byrd.
Yes, Admiral Byrd.
Yeah, right. Now, I mean, Brother Angu, I don't know if you know who you're talking to either, but a few years ago I had a conversation with you about a particular thing. I won't necessarily say what it is right now. But you know, these men, they were in boats, you know. You know, they were in ships. And come back out in the ship.
Ah.
Right?
This was World War II, right? Admiral Byrd. So they had planes then, or helicopters
but
then.
Byrd, but they were on an expedition. They went boats.
Hmm.
Right? They went boats. Now, you see, what you need to understand, CA, is that, like how Brother Anku was saying earlier, you know, people control the release of certain information, and he was talking about cross-referencing and scrutinizing information, et cetera, right? we need to understand, or we need to take into consideration sometimes or all the time, whenever there's information that is relevant or whatever, we need to understand or try to, where did it come from? Where was this concept or where was this idea given birth? You know, that's what we need to look at. You see, because we need to understand that a lot of things that we believe today as a reality, like how Anku was talking about controlling the mentality and the narrative, a lot of the things that we believe today is a big lie. You understand? So I have known about Brother Admiral Byrd for years now. See, that's why I was surprised to hear you talk about him. And I mean, and I would like it, see, if you would have the courage to even like go even further as it relates to Admiral Byrd and what his discovery really revealed and what it meant, because he said that there was land beyond the South, beyond that, that was larger than North America. And he said that it was filled with resources, enough resources to, because he was talking about coal, say enough coal to power America for forever, right? So I mean, so these are the discoveries that this man has made that is not on a map that we see today. You understand? He is talking about land that exists, CA, right? That we view today. And the reason why, CA, is because the way that they have gotten us to view the world, right, has made us believe that there's nothing else but what we see. Because if it's a ball, right, and if it's a ball and it's a closed ball, and you see it's a ball, right, ain't no place else to go. But if it, but suppose it wasn't a ball, CA.
You believe it's a flat place?
Yeah. I'm only saying, suppose it was not a ball, CA. Suppose it was a level place would make more sense, because, you know, because you see, in the globe, CA, in the globe, you have to understand this. In the globe, gravity is the god of the heliocentric model, because with gravity, all things are possible. So you see, the heliocentric model is actually a religion in a way, because like, and gravity is the god. You understand? But like I say, see, suppose now, like suppose we in like in this like a pod. Suppose we in like a circle. Suppose we in this big encircle thing, mm-hmm. and the land is like in the middle,
and the
sea all around us, right? And then they have, because you know you need something to hold the water in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So suppose like on the outer edge, on the big outer circle, is this big ice wall thing with this hold the water in, right? But we in the middle. Now suppose beyond this, mm-hmm. is another thing would look like what we in. You know what I mean? And see, that is what Admiral Byrd found. He found another pod, or another, like, because I mean, sometimes they have games where people have little circles and that's their little city, and then they could venture out and they could find another little thing and would look like they own. Suppose he found that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand where I come from? Because see, like I said, see, you. I mean, I'd love if you have the courage to really have that conversation if the earth is not what we have been taught. You know what I mean? Because I would love to have that kind of conversation, because I mean, all we have about it.
We'll flatter.
And it makes absolutely no sense. There are things that are impossible.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand my point to you, so what I'm saying is this, CA. If the truth is other than what we've been taught, right, then we owe it to our children to teach them the truth. And what's wrong with challenging a philosophy or an idea that exists? The truth fares no contradiction. You know, so why should there be a fear of having that type of discussion? You know what I mean? Because like I said before, I know that what we see or what we've been taught is not where we are. You know what I mean? Not one day, CA, have you ever gone a day, you know, something? I feel it's spinning, you know. Not one day, CA, have you ever done that? Not one day. Not see, it is impossible for the North Star, for Polaris.
Oh, God.
Polaris is a star that does not move. You know what I mean? It is impossible for Polaris to not move, not one degree, not one fraction of a degree over millions of years, and we be in this spinning, wobbling earth, spinning around 1,000 miles an hour, wobbling, going around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour, while the sun and us and all us zipping through the universe at 500,000 miles an hour.
So what I'll do?
There's no form of parallax. What? No movement of the stars. The constellations are consistent year after year. But we're doing all this movement.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll entertain you, and have
a flat earth theory show, right? Where we propose that the earth is flat, and if you sail so far, you might fall off. And that is not a globe. But I want to say that Lieutenant, later Admiral Richard E. Byrd, reputedly was the first man, along with crew member Floyd Bennett, to fly over the North Pole on May 9th, 1926. Some experts dispute that Byrd actually reached the North Pole, but at the time, his claim was universally accepted. Just want to do that quick Google on that. But I prepared to have a conversation about the Earth being flat, and that we are surrounded by a dome, right? And that we can't breach the dome to go to space. I could do that show. I could just do it.
But I also want to say too, when it comes to constellations, the reason why it appears that these stars are unchanging is because they change over tens of thousands of years. They move by 1 degree in tens of thousands of years, which in universal time is not a very long time, right? Because you're talking about celestial bodies that are billions or trillions of years old. So, again, that's a whole other conversation. But I appreciate the commentary this morning.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I read a book where they had Lucifer being the god of the earth.
Mm.
Right? This is before the creation of man, that the earth itself had creatures here or humanoids here other than man, right? And that Lucifer had a title, and that when that title was stripped from him, I guess when they had the War of Heaven, right, when he believed that he could raise up to the creator level, right, and that he wanted to overcome those people who were the gods of heaven but wanted to go to the creator, that all this title was stripped from him. So he was no longer the lord over this earth. Then I read in another book, right, where there were different floods, different destructions of this earth. And when Satan fall and had that earthquake, or when before they had that second flood or first flood, there was a mass destruction. And some of those creatures, aliens, beings, humanoids, were escaped to the middle of the earth, escaped to space, right? I find this Anunnaki talk is getting popular now. Everyone would talk about Anunnaki. Like, they just go on Facebook and Google, and now that's part of their concept of reality, that they exist. And I said, but not in the Bible. And then they say, yes, see, dear. And I said, that book ain't in the Bible either. But they said, no, they left it out because they're trying to hide it from me. And I say, does the Coptic Church have any reference about other humanoids, other destruction of the earth? And I see you, Carl. I come to you right now.
Yeah, definitely. When you see, the only way you can piece together the historical, if you want to call it that, narrative of the planet is you have to look outside of the Bible. The Bible would not have every rendition or every aspect of what's happening on the entire planet. You'd have to go to the indigenous people of the planet and look at their records. So you have the records of what they call the Sumerian records, one called Utnapishtim, right? Who would have been the Noah of his time. You have the records of the Hindus in the Vedas where they talk about Manu, who would have been the Noah of his time. You have the records of the ancient Africans where they talk about Khufu and him being the Noah of his time. Or even Nuak, who they refer to as Noah, experienced the reality of flooding in their part of the earth.
Is this all the Noah story, or are you saying that there were different people who survived this big flood?
There were different people, not all in the same time period. So some of these events have, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of years in between, or even billions of years in between some of these events. It's a constant replenishing that's taking place. That's why they use the word replenish in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. This was not the first time that the earth needed to be replenished. You understand? So in order for us to appreciate what is taking place, the Holy Coptic Church understands that our records that coming out of this mother scroll or this mother scripture referenced in the book of Revelation chapter 5, where they talk about the seven seals, right? These seals are records that come out of a larger scripture, which was referred to as the Akasha records, all right? And these records are records of not only this planet, but the entire solar system, galaxy, and universe. So when you begin to appreciate the reality of what we've been saying now for weeks, which is that in the Zondervan King James Study Bible, they have a list of books that are not found in the Bible, but are related to the Bible. So even the biblical scholars recognize that, yes, the Anunnak is in the Bible, but that
Anunnaki is inside the Bible.
The word Anak is there.
That's right? A different word. Coincidence, yeah. Man.
Well, the word itself, when you begin to understand the reality of who the Anunnaki are, because the word Kedis is saying where they are. Hmm. They're not on Kedis, they're just Anak. You understand? So there was the Anunnak, who were the disagreeable, and then you had the Elohim, who are the agreeable. You had these 14 tribes that came to this planet. You don't hear about...
How come you just talk about this? Why we
talk about it weeks ago, but we talked about it as the sons of God coming into the daughters of men.
I can write that
men.
Elohim and your Anunnak.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk about that next week. Let's go to this caller again.
Sure, because
you talk about these 12 tribes coming down and we'll fight. Mm-hmm. Hey, go ahead, caller, because Uncle hiding stuff from me. and then the good stuff he read to the end of the show. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, good day.
Go ahead. It's you live.
Yeah, I wanted to call in regards to his commentary on Admiral Byrd.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what I found interesting about that is, like the previous caller said, he actually mentioned that there are resources that far outnumber or way the resources we have on this planet of Earth that don't exist. And it's something that they've been hiding for years, and that many countries around the world actually know about the existence of these things. That's why they signed a treaty in an article that no one could go beyond there without any guide or, you know, anyone with them to explore that area.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
We just had a Bahamian who went to Antarctica to do some kind of relay run, that long distance run.
Yeah,
just
that
Saturday.
That was guided, you know. They had to go in designated areas.
What you want to go to Antarctica for, though? So the internet say. What do you think they hiding?
All right, like previous caller kind of insinuated. I believe we live on a flat plane.
You believe we live on a flat plane too?
That's gonna be a big show. Yeah. That could be a big show.
I can write that down.
Yeah,
flat earth theorists.
Yeah, flat earthers.
And the strangest states talk. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I believe we live on a flat plane, right? Like it only makes sense in regards to the Bible, because if you know about the book of Enoch and what they describe we live on, the plane we live on. And what the plane the Bible describes we live on is not a globe at all.
Carl, are you serious though? You really believe the earth flat?
Oh yeah.
God,
it makes sense. It is, okay, for flood and all. Okay, let's just say a flood, right? However, the flood takes place on a globe. It's impossible, literally impossible.
Go ahead. I ain't laughing. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it may sound like a joke, but that's true. You cannot have a flood on a ball.
No.
But you could flood a flat plane that is covered by a dome,
mm-hmm,
or a firmament, as the Bible calls it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible literally says the windows of heaven were open and the foundations were broken. Like, water was let in here by God. That's how the earth was flooded.
Mm. Okay. I can have the show. I bet you better listen to the call.
I reserve my comments for that show.
Yeah, let me go to the next caller. All
right, yeah, man.
Okay.
All right, thanks, caller.
Producer, pass the next caller through. Go ahead, caller. You don't believe in no flat earth, right? Okay, this sensible talk. Go ahead, 52. Tell me you don't believe in flat earth.
You know, me and you discussed the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Yeah.
Art Nopiston, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Civilizations have their depiction to art discovered that of the flood. Even I think the Anasazis, right? Or the Aztecs, the Incas, they found depicting that far as the west as in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And the Indians knew about the flood, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you would have noticed that the Anasazis and some of the Indian tribes, they would have, the Aztecs, the Incas, whatever, they have cities high in the mountains, right?
Yep.
All right, the reason for that is because they knew about the flood. So when the Westerners came in and they settled in the plains, the Indian knew that they were not used to the land, because that's why they ended up with all of these floods. But as it relates to the earth being flat. Even in the 6th century BC, the Pygmalionians knew that the earth was already round. So, Rasta, you know, I always agree with everything he says otherwise, but this argument about the earth being flat, they don't really conceive it, but I will just say this, right? If the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, you really think it make a difference if it's flat or round? It's still God's own. So I could debunk that, but if the earth is flat, why is it that you have day and night and you have time zones? You understand? Why do we have an eclipse? There's so many reasons to debunk the flat earth theory.
We can have a whole show about that, yeah.
They need to conceive and go really find out with the Bible when it talks about firmament. It's only a separation. That's all it really means. And so if we have mountains and we have valleys, you can't tell me that there's no flood, it's not capable. So why haven't, listen to me, why haven't they, Uncle, you know the basis on the flat earth theory, that the earth is the center, and then you have a crust around that stops from sailing on the edge of the earth. Mm-hmm. Why hasn't Ferdinand Magellan, Francisco de Pedregordi, Francisco de Nunes, but why haven't any of these guys sailed off the surface of the earth, Uncle?
Well, that's see,
thanks for what you do.
I'm going to take the conversation another way, right? The last time, there was an age of discovery, and then after the age of discovery, there was slavery. Okay? So that's how I'm looking at this. These people trying to run us right back into slavery. I don't mean the callers. I mean the people driving the narrative.
Let's go to the next caller. We can squeeze all of them in. Go ahead, caller. Call girl
is
one.
That me? Is that you?
That's you.
Okay. I go by what I study through the Bible, and I listen to your program with the Dr. Reverend. Mm-hmm. And I listen to him every day when he comes on. But I am a born-again Christian. My Bible is my guide. And when I read something, I believe it. I do look up. I have seen Admiral Byrd. I believe he went to the North Pole. I believe he found what he found.
What?
I believe he went to the North Pole, South Pole and North Pole. And there's always been other creations that we could see through the history in caves and everywhere else. Mm-hmm. But I do believe my Bible. Mm-hmm. But quite clearly, this world is not spinning. This world has a dome.
What?
World is flat.
It's going to be a big show.
Next week.
In a world, and Jesus himself said that when he was crucified, he was going to paradise. Mm-hmm. And it says that he went to the heart of the earth, and he went to the secured patriot heart, and he led them out of paradise. Jesus said that he would lead them out, and they were seen all through Jerusalem. I believe my Bible. Then he said he went right next door to hell and took the keys from Satan, who resided there. And he said he took the keys for the death, hell, and the grave. And he came back and he said, I'm in control of this, not you. He went to the heart of the earth. I do believe that the fallen angels that is being held in chains is at the bottom of the ocean. Where they're being held. And they will come up out of a door, a gate, a portal. They will come back out in due time.
Tuesday, yes, ma'am. Tuesday, miss. I want you call back on Tuesday. You hear me? We can have this conversation again. Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Let me go to the next caller, though. Producer,
thanks for calling. Thank you for calling.
Tuesday could be interesting. Go ahead. You have 30 seconds.
30 seconds all I need. But, Uncle, just remember, you had years to check this out. But just to answer 52 quickly. See, it's 52. You ever see the yin and yang symbol? Okay, you notice how one side is be dark and one side is be light? Well, the sun and the moon rotates above us, and the size of them only lights up certain parts at a certain given time. And he asked, the reason why you have an eclipse 52 is because the sun is not 992 million miles away. I don't even know how to measure that. But the sun and moon are the same size.
Have mercy. Oh, let's go to the next caller.
Great show.
Okay, that caller, hang up. Mm-hmm. I'm flabbergasted. I just didn't know many behemoths.
I didn't know.
It's behemoths I'm talking about. Let's go to this caller too. I want to squeeze them in. I want to see if it got to be more than four.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, gentlemen.
Yes,
sir.
I just flat earther too.
Go I don't understand.
You know why it's a flat earther?
Go ahead.
Because if you look at the human nature, the way we design, we ain't designed to walk in a circle upside down or whatever you try to do it. Mm. Secondly, the earth is fixed. Everything that is attached to the earth don't move. You go 12 o'clock, see that tree, you go back 1 o'clock, that tree in that same spot. Secondly, the earth is a vibration. It pulses like the heart. It breathes air, and it breathes in air, and it releases. It does what it's supposed to do.
Mm.
Now, the sun is a flare. It's like every morning is a slower flare that comes up, and it heats the earth, which now provides energy. It's like solar.
Mm-hmm.
It provides energy, so when the sun goes out, then the sea stars and the moon and all these things get their power from the sun. You see?
That's all the time. Hey, won't you call back on Tuesday, too?
Yeah.
There's Angel. There's independent Angel. I'm going to let them know he's a flat earther.
Yes, sir. Let's go to the next caller there, producer.
Got to be more than five.
Oh, gosh. Caller, hang up. Let's go next. Go ahead, caller. That person hang up, too? Go to the next line, then, caller. I mean, the line's lit up. Go ahead, caller.
Flat earther.
He's a flat earther, too.
He's flat.
But
this is the same person or this is a different person?
No, this is pretty. Come on.
Oh, it's my boy.
I expect you.
My boy. What are you saying, man?
I expect you to believe the earth flat.
I lied, right? I really lied. I mean, how could you conceptualize the globe kind of thing?
Oh, God.
Right? This whole globe concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because they give us about the writing, where they can the Bible and say that's gospel,
mm-hmm.
it ain't no difference book, the secret of keeping the earth is flat.
Okay.
They don't want us to never know the truth.
So free dinger.
Alaska, you know, one like the same middle. Alaska is around everything, okay? And the water is like Alaska's like the teacup.
Mm.
And the ocean is like the teacup's made of ice, right? Basically.
Mm. Right.
And the oceans and all the other lands are fixed right inside that.
Okay. I appreciate you.
I wish some of that ice would cool us down.
You don't want the ice melt. Let's go to the next caller there. I mean, the lights lit up for them. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Hi. I'm surprised today.
All right, wonderful. All right, I don't necessarily side with the guest you up there this morning, man. You know, them said who go to college, go off to college, they normally indoctrinated. Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd also like to say, in 1958, you have the Encyclopedia Britannica, which actually states in that book that where the firmament is. You know what I mean? And besides that, sorry, driving right now.
I've been talking on the phone, and I was against law. That's why you believe in flat earth. But next week, we can talk about flat earth. We can talk more about people inside the middle of this earth.
Yeah.
And the keys to hell and Jesus letting them out.
And there's more than one group of devils. We can talk about that.
There's more than one devil?
You have Luciferians and you have Satanists.
Lucifer and Satan in the same person?
No, they're not the same.
See? We can talk about that. And we can talk about this war. You talk about the Elohim. And
we got plenty to talk about. This can spawn over a couple of weeks.
Anyway,
sure.
This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. This is the Earth Flat. Thank you, Lord.
I love it.
We'll see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.